And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Welcome into RBLR Bucks, or shall I say, welcome aboard the RBLR Buccaneers coaster, where the thrill of Tampa Bay football never stops. And this offseason is just another ride for our year-long journey of Buccaneers fandom. Well, folks, I'm Usab, one of your co-hosts tonight, and let me tell you, even though we are weeks away from another snap here at RBLR, there is no offseason. That's right. The Buccaneers spirit sails on. We bring you the latest news, the insights, and all the Buccaneers banter you can handle. But also, we here at RBLR also want to let you know we appreciate y'all tuning in, and we're ready to handle all your hot takes and questions, so never hesitate to drop a comment on our live stream or share your thought on our social media. But folks, as I said before, I can never steer this ship alone. Joining me on deck is the myth, the legend, the Buccaneers aficionado himself, Mr. Carter Brantley. Carter, I got a question for you. You know, you got any big plans for your Sundays now that, you know, Tampa Bay football is on a break? I know obviously we have some playoff action going on still, but I hope you're not too depressed knowing that there is no Sunday football for our beloved Buccaneers.
Nah, man, I'm chilling. You know, obviously it'd be better if the Bucs were in the NFC Championship this weekend, but you know, you win some, you lose some, and there's only two teams that can have the NFC Championship and four total that can be playing this weekend. So, you know, it happens. I don't know, man. It's going to be tough, especially until baseball season, because like there's that little stretch of time there, like a little bit after the Super Bowl, but before the baseball season starts, where like there's nothing, man.
Tell me about it.
I remember
that time of the year when I was in Boston. Yeah, it was only a little bit of basketball too, and that starts later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the Lightning are playing, so that's kind of fun. But you know, mm-hmm. it's tough. You know, only those two American sports. So, it's gonna be a tough going for a little bit. But that's all right, because we'll be coming at the audience with plenty of episodes and plenty of content. Even during the dregs of the NFL offseason. And if you like what you hear and you want to continue hearing it, definitely hit that like and subscribe button. Or you can give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports. We've got plenty of great content across our channel. But despite the fact that the Bucks aren't playing this week, obviously, there's still some big news, especially today. There was a lot of talk and chatter and rumors about Liam Cohen leaving for a head coaching gig, whether it was Chicago, New Orleans, Jacksonville, and Jacksonville ended up being the most valid, you know, sort of the hottest little rumor. And today it was announced that he is staying. He is not going to Jacksonville. He made some kind of, I don't know if I would call it excessive, but he made some demands about the Jacksonville GM, Trent Baalke. He has not been super popular amongst the fans or other executives or, you know, all of that stuff. So it's kind of tough that the Jaguars held on to him. And the Bucks, you know, they got to keep Cohen. They paid him a bunch of money, I think for around $4.5 million, something similar to the Vic Fangio number. But, you know, Cohen basically demanded that Spytek, the Bucks assistant GM, who was actually hired by the Raiders, that he become the GM of the Jaguars. Sorry, this is a very convoluted thing, but it's sort of a complicated situation. So, Mustafa, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, are you surprised that he didn't take the Jacksonville job? Maybe you're like, yeah, he avoided kind of a mess. What are your thoughts on Liam Cohen staying?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like his demands were definitely valid for sure. And I feel like if, you know, at this point, I mean, he's got a very good looking resume, especially this past season with our Buccaneers. So, I mean, if the Jags really did want him that bad, I mean, they kind of have to, you know, listen to his demands and, you know, work with him. So, to me, I kind of feel like, you know, maybe the plan with the Jags were just to kind of, you know, take advantage of his, you know, kind of skills and knowledge and kind of still run the show. But, I mean, it really just comes down to, you know, how much, you know, Liam Cohen wanted to run the show and what he wanted. And, it's also not a bad demand, you know, wanting the assistant GM. But I'll tell you this, though. I mean, it's not like I'm, you know, some Jacksonville Jaguar, you know, expert or anything. But just, unfortunately, that team is just overall very messy. I feel like maybe there's only a couple of teams in the NFL that are just depressing. And I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are one of them. And, you know, I feel bad, you know, for, you know, all the mess that they are going through. And they are still going through some, you know, weird changes or whatever. But I'll tell you this. I'm just real happy to have him back. I feel like, if anything, maybe it was just a way of him to kind of, you know, squeeze more money out of the Glazer family. I don't know. But
hey, to have him back,
because, I mean, it makes a big difference. It's also just nice, a little side note, it's finally nice having, you know, an offensive coordinator who can work with Baker for more than a year.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the biggest plus from all of this. But, yeah, I mean, if he used it as negotiations, you know, or leverage or whatever, more power to him. You know, he's one of the highest paid coordinators apparently in the NFL, it's being reported, which deservedly so. You know, I mean, he's one of the best coordinators in football. So the idea that this is an overpay or anything like that, I think would be a bit silly, but yeah, him and Vic Fangio, I believe, are the two highest paid coordinators in football. And they had two of the best groups in football. The Eagles defense was one of the best in football, and the Bucks offense, obviously one of the best in the NFL. So kind of well-deserved in both cases. But what's so weird is that the Jaguars ended up firing Trent Baalke anyways. So it was like, I don't know. Were you kind of surprised by that? Or maybe you were kind of like, well, I guess. But if John Spytek, the Bucks assistant GM, would have been fine. You know, he would have been a fine hire. So I was kind of confused as to why they didn't just be like, all right, yeah, sure, we're probably going to let him go anyway. So we'll hire John Spytek. Why not? But what were your thoughts on how the Jaguars handled all this?
Perhaps they had someone else in mind, or maybe they didn't think that they were actually just going to get rid of Baalke so quickly. There's just some things I feel like are just kind of these kind of private discussions behind the closed doors where only, you know, the real kind of, you know, close people with the Jaguars organization are really going to know. Obviously, it is very strange, though, to, you know, first of all, you know, say no to Cohen's demands and then get rid of, you know, your own guy. But
yeah,
I mean, even the statements he made, you know, our producer had shared it, that, you know, rather god-awful corporate tweet, you know, saying, oh, following several discussions, you know,
right, yeah,
best interest to, you know, we respectfully separate, effective immediately.
Oh,
Trent,
man,
leaves us with my deepest appreciation for, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
right,
what did you use, like ChatGPT or something to write that up?
I was about to say, the PR team ran that through ChatGPT and said, hey, let's cook something up here. And by golly, it was some corporate Maj Paz.
It's that off-season intern.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The off-season intern bug. It's back, Carter. I talked about it last off-season. It's back.
Oh, it's back with a vengeance, my man. It's back with a vengeance. Absolutely. Right, oh, my goodness. UNF, yeah, they're hammering out.
Probably some UNF sophomore or something writing something up for the Jaguars owner.
Right, exactly. Oh, man, they're recruiting some UNF, poor UNF mass communications student that's just writing this up. And, you know, they said, you've got an hour, do it right now. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm trying. It's brutal to think about. It's brutal to think about. But shifting our focus back to the Bucks, because we could crack jokes at the Jaguars' expense for a whole episode, really. Man, that's what a mess. But there's sort of kind of a little bit of a rumor, maybe a humming that, you know, that Cohen maybe took this position or stayed and took this deal because maybe there's like an inkling that Todd Bowles is going to retire this season. And then Cohen kind of shifts and takes over that head coaching position. What are your thoughts on the validity of that rumor? And if that is indeed the case, is that something you're excited about?
Oof. Honestly, I'm probably just going to say, I don't know, just because, you know, the specifics I'm just not aware about as to, you know, how, you know, Bowles' contract is and how that kind of works and all that. But, you know, I didn't really think about that even with Cohen coming back. I just feel like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you kind of want to be part of the culture you're already in. As easy as it is, you know, making a big leap kind of, you know, forward and being the head coach, you know, sometimes, right, you know, you can still be an absolutely phenomenal leader as, you know, the offensive coordinator as well. And still kind of, you know, avoid the extra headaches that, you know, a head coach would have to deal with as well. But, and I'm sure maybe, you know, he prefers rather, you know, working with, you know, Todd Bowles and the rest of the staff as well, instead of the Jaguars. So,
right.
Sure, it wasn't an easy decision, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know the $4.5 million or whatever he's getting paid, it's up there, and I'm sure that helped. But yeah, I'm with you. You know, making the switch to head coach after 1 year as a play caller, I'm sure that's not an easy thing. I mean, we saw it last year or the year before with Ben Johnson. He was rumored to be like the hot head coaching name. Obviously, he got hired by the Bears, and it's kind of riling up some Lions fans in a bad way. But that's another topic. But yeah, I mean, there's certainly positives to sticking around. And Jacksonville, he might have looked at it and saying, hey, maybe this isn't the perfect fit. And, you know, why make the jump if it's not something that you're truly excited about or something that you can truly get on board with? Because otherwise he could have washed out, you know, just 2 years in Jacksonville as a head coach and then down the toilet and gets fired just like every other Jacksonville head coach. So, you know, maybe he sees it in that light as well. I'd also be curious to monitor the Cincinnati Bengals too, because my goodness, they struggled this year. Zach Taylor, if they miss the playoffs again this year, I think Liam Cohen could very easily be the Bengals' next head coach. But that's sort of getting into conjecture. But speaking of Todd Bowles, there was a lot of rumors about, or a lot of chatter amongst NFL or Bucks fans specifically, just about keeping him or firing him. And I wanted to hear your thoughts, because obviously now the calculus has sort of changed. I don't think Cohen agrees to come back if Bowles isn't the head coach. But I wanted to get your thoughts on his sort of long-term fit with the Bucks. What are some pros to keeping him? What are some negatives? So what are your overall thoughts on Bowles' job security moving forward? And what are the pros and cons of keeping him around as the head coach?
Ooh, well, I mean, I feel like the pros, first of all, is as much as we didn't see it, I'm hoping maybe it was just a rough year on the kind of defensive experience.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like he's got the right guys, and I feel like he has, you know, built a strong defense, you know, in his overall career. And I feel like if anything, you know, it's also good to have stability, you know, in the organization, you know, having, you know, that kind of continuity and stability, someone who's been with us for a while, I mean, that helps a lot. Sure. And same thing with just familiarity with the organization. And sure, I mean, a lot of guys in our organization have that as well. But now the con side, I mean, it's just, you know, we see these god awful kind of ugly play calling decisions, and I'm hoping, you know, that he just, you know, continues to let Liam Cohen run the show for the most part. But I'll probably say, if anything, beforehand, we didn't really have much creativity on this team. And I want to give a big shout out to Liam Cohen, who kind of, you know, brought that creativity to the table. But other than that, though, I'll probably just say the biggest thing that always hurts me is just that kind of that game time management. Because I feel like there was just a handful of games we had that, you know, gone the other way had we done something else. So obviously it hurts knowing these kind of things, but I just feel like as easy as it is just to be like, oh, you know, like screw Todd Bowles, let's fire this guy. And
right. Yeah.
You know, you're always going to have these kind of things. You know what I'm saying? No matter how much, sure. You know, every great coach is going to, you know, do something that, you know, the fans, you know, weren't really, you know, on the same page with, or, you know, didn't right. like or something, you know, they disagreed. So I don't think there's enough reasons to get rid of him. Plus, on top of that, I mean, if you look at the bigger picture and the stats, you know, we're one of the few teams, I think, if not, I think it's the Chiefs, the Bucks, and another team that are like the only teams that have made it consistently to the playoffs, like, oh man, like 5 years, like 5 years in a row or something like that. I forgot where I saw it.
No, but I get you. Yeah, it's been a success.
Yeah, we won the NFC South title many years in the past. So sure. It's just like, you know, when you think about those kind of things, you know, do we really have a valid reason to really just kind of, you know, give this guy the boot?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those positives are great. You know, like you mentioned, the continuity factor of it is really huge. And I think what plays into that is that he's garnered a lot of respect in the locker room. You know, I think you hear a lot of positive things from players, including Levante David the other day. Mm-hmm. He was kind of chatting it up and, you know, someone asked about it and he was like, oh, well, anyone that's saying that nonsense doesn't know what they're talking about. Not a direct quote, obviously, but basically just telling people to shove it, you know, just telling people to shut up. You don't know what you're talking about kind of thing, which, you know, if someone's going to bat for you like that, especially someone of Levante David's stature, obviously he didn't have a great year this past year, but he's a veteran. He's been around the league for a long time and he's been through a lot of different coaches with the Bucks. So for him to be, you know, standing up for his guy like that, I think that's nothing but a positive for sure. So, yeah, I'm definitely with you on the pros. And obviously the cons are, like you said, the clock management stuff. It can get silly. Like we're always joking in the group chat about him pocketing timeouts. Like he gets a bonus every time he gets to take an extra timeout or two into halftime or into the end of the games. And also the defensive regression this past season was tough. Like they did not play well, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But my question kind of to follow up on that, I guess, would be like, do you think this defense this past season really performs that much better this under a different defensive coordinator or under a different head coach? Maybe. I mean, I don't know if I'm sold on that, you know, with all the injuries and the underperformance and whatnot. I mean, maybe you disagree though.
No, I'm right there with you. Honestly, I mean, as bad as it sounds, I feel like, yeah, I mean, our DB room is always, a big mystery mark, and the injury bug has just been absolutely beating the crap out of our, you know, defense. So, I mean, these kind of things sometimes are just out of our control. And if anything, you know, you kind of just want to make sure you're stacked with as many skilled, you know, DBs or linemen as possible. But
sure.
I don't think there's going to be a huge, you know, kind of difference at all with, you know, a different guy. I mean, I feel like our defense kind of just comes down to, you know, how our guys actually perform. I feel like, at least for me, you know, and please do let me know, but I don't think there was that many times where I really kind of nitpicked, you know, the way, you know, the defense actually, you know, the play call or whatever. I just feel like it was just the lack of execution more than anything that really kind of irritated me with our defense.
Absolutely. And you can't coach talent, you know. Unfortunately, you can only coach the players that you're given. And you know, a lot of people roast him for the really off coverage that cornerbacks play and like, oh, they run so much zone. Why not play some man? And it's like, my brother in Christ, do you really want Tyreek Funderburk running man coverage? Like I don't mean to pick on him, but goodness gracious, like I don't, if a guy can't handle zone, I don't think that you really want him handling man either. Because he would get burnt to a crisp, you know. It would not have been fun to watch
him burned.
Yeah, exactly. It would not have been fun to watch him try to cover Zay Flowers in one-on-one coverage with Lamar Jackson throwing him passes. Not that it was fun watching them play zone either, but I don't know. You kind of got to pick your battles, and I feel like with that one, that's a tough one. But yeah, I think that he's probably the best option moving forward. I didn't really see the validity in they need to fire Bowles talks, especially now that Cohen's back. There's no reason to let go of Bowles. So that's at least some nice things that have come with Cohen staying, as well as that there's no instability with the head coaching position. Cohen would not be coming back if it was under a different head coach. So that's nice to know. But if you're looking for the Liam Cohen of wardrobe options, if you're looking for a wardrobe to upgrade your game the same way that Liam Cohen upgraded this Bucks run game, definitely check out shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some really great Tampa Bay sports gear for you across our website. You can check it out, whether it's the Bucks, the Lightning, the Rowdies, the Sun, the Rays, whatever the case may be. Definitely check it out. And we'll give you a promo code as well. That's Cannons. Type it in, CANNONS. Type that in, get 10% off your entire order because it's the off season. You know, we could all use a pick-me-up. But anyways, after that little plug, we're going to talk about the NFL at large because, you know, there were a lot of games this past weekend. It was the divisional round, a lot of fun stuff, some really exciting games, especially with Kansas City and Houston. That was kind of an interesting one. Philadelphia and Los Angeles was really fun. But focusing on that Kansas City game, yeah, we got to talk about it. You know, the Mahomes nonsense, whatever you want to call it, the flopping. The weird roughing the passer that, I mean, I get it, you know, got to protect the quarterback, but I don't know to what end. So what do you think needs to change with the way these late hits are enforced? Because something needs to give. This has been ridiculous. So give me something on the way late hits are enforced.
Oh man, I don't even know where to start, Carter. It's just, yeah.
I feel you.
I feel like, you know, there's a difference between, you know, a guy not being able to control that he's already kind of, you know, midair about to hit, you know, the guy. And then there's one where, you know, the defender is like, oh, this guy's vulnerable. Let me just, you know, truck the hell out of him. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like the naked eye can, you know, tell these things easily, but, you know, we, unfortunately, this is the part I hate the most is we spend so much time in all these leagues looking at the replay 10 times over and over again. And it's like, oh my God, you know, so, you know, I've just kind of given up on even having any kind of regard towards the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, I've heard a lot of ugly things about, you know, this kind of situation. And I've heard things from Kansas City fans or just, you know, devil advocate kind of people saying, oh, no, it's, you know, actually it's fine or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's just the fact that, you know, there have been so many discussions about this on social media from all of my friends and family and everyone like that. It's just like,
it's exhausting.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, I think you mentioned this before, too, is, you know, Mahomes is the new kind of golden boy now. You know what I'm saying? So that's just unfortunately how it turns out to be. And I could go on and on, Carter, but, you know, the world of sports is kind of changing a little bit for other reasons as well with commercialization and sports gambling, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, we can open up a whole can of worms with these types of discussions for sure, especially with the sports betting stuff. I mean, there's a lot of comps to the New England Patriots of old with the Brady era Patriots and how they would seemingly get calls and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a lot of similarities. You know, the NFL, like you mentioned, they need to have kind of a, for some reason, they feel as if they need to have a golden boy pushing revenue and pushing, you know, eyes to the product. But man, I don't know. The NFL is pretty fun to watch even without Mahomes doing his thing. You know, I think I watched that game the least this past weekend. Like the Rams Eagles game was a blast. Like the Commanders Lions game was a lot of fun. There was just a lot of great football. And the fact that we're having to talk about this is just so. Ugh, you know, I mean, I'm with you. It's exhausting. It's not something that you want to talk about, but it's unfortunately something that a lot of people are talking about because shoot, you see it, you know, I mean, we all saw him, you know, running out of bounds and then he kind of holds up and then he gets pushed and then he falls and it's like, oh God, like, you know, I get it. There's a lot of clips of other players doing similar things, but it just seems like Kansas City always gets the calls and the biggest moments. So I don't know. Hopefully,
yeah. Something... I mean, they got this thing in the NBA with the whole, you know, anti-flopping rule and all that. Absolutely. And I feel like, you know, perhaps it's time for the NFL to kind of, you know, hop on that train.
For sure. Yeah, especially with the late sliding. That's another big one. I mean, the fact that quarterbacks are just sliding right before defenders get there. I mean, I get it. You know, they're not necessarily thinking about, you know, sliding until the very last second because they want to get as much yardage as possible, but. At the same time, if you're going to call things differently for quarterbacks than you are for other positions, then they have to kind of pick up their side of things. You know, they have to maintain their side of the street as well. They have to do their share to make sure that they're safe as well. Because I'm all for player safety and all that stuff, but that means everyone has to be participating. You can't just fault defensive players for doing this type of nonsense and then, you know, not hold offensive players responsible for putting themselves in that position, you know, putting themselves in that compromising position to be hit that late. It's frustrating. You know, it's definitely frustrating. It's annoying to talk about because there are a lot of really fun storylines from this past weekend. And I want to hear your thoughts on them. What for you was the biggest surprise from this weekend? Was it the Commanders kind of taking charge of the Lions? You know, I don't think very many people had the Commanders taking the Lions down, or was it the Eagles sort of running away with things, or was it Kansas City, Houston put up kind of a decent fight? What was your biggest surprise from this past weekend?
Ooh, surprise are probably just, you know, the Bills being able to kind of scrape away with the win. Obviously with that painful ending, you know, And yeah, I mean, we could talk just about that, but no, I mean, oh, Eagles Rams was really fun to watch, especially, just the ending, just the way the Eagles were able to close it out. Defense came up big time as well. Shout out Zach Bond. And then with the Commanders Lions game, I mean, that was just very surprising. I feel like the Lions just honestly, the best way I could say is like they just weren't clicking in any way possible. And I feel like, you know, the injury bug was definitely biting them as much as possible. But I want to give a shout out also to the Commanders. You know, Daniels actually himself said that, you know, he wanted to really kind of change the culture as well with the Commanders. And I mean, this organization has made a big 180 because of him and also, I mean, other people as well. But I'm really happy to see it, honestly. And it feels nice knowing that it was, you know, we lost the Commanders and, you know, they ran over the Lions. So,
right. Turns out they're pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe absolutely. They are actually good. Yeah,
right. Yeah, maybe it's not that big of a deal that the Bucs lost to them. No, but I feel you. The Ravens Bills game, we'll talk about that a little bit as well. With you know the ending, of course. But yeah, the Lions, man, they were rough. I mean, it's just so weird. Jared Goff. I mean, he just when it rains, it pours with him sometimes with turnovers and just you know it just seems like if he's on, man, it's GG, like you're not touching the Lions. Like they're going to put up a 30 or a 40 spot on you without even sweating. But yeah, the injury bug, my goodness, that poor defense. I mean, just like Aiden Hutchinson went down. Carlton Davis was, I believe, out. Tarion Arnold seemed like he was in and out. I mean, they had like what? It was a ridiculous amount of players on injured reserve. I don't remember the exact number, but it was like we thought that the Bucs had a lot of injuries. And then you look at the Lions and it's like, oh man, like that is tough. So I'm with you. I think the Commanders was probably the biggest surprise, but also the Ravens and Bills was interesting too. But the Lions, man, that was a weird sequence where they were still in the game and they ran the, you know, a usual Ben Johnson fancy play call. And then Jamison Williams ends up with the ball and then he throws an interception. What were your thoughts on that? Was it maybe too cute for you? Or maybe you were like, hey, you know, Ben Johnson, this is his thing. This is his gimmick. This is what got them there. They love running trick plays. You can't fault them for running it. Or maybe you think, hey, maybe Jamison Williams throwing the ball in the NFC divisional game isn't the best idea. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, yeah, from a Lions perspective, I feel like it's fine. It's understandable why they did that because, yeah, that's who Ben Johnson is and all that. But, I mean, if you're the Commanders, I feel like, yeah, you're going to know this was bound to happen. And, you know,
of course,
you're kind of always on your tippy toes. And, you know, as soon as you see something even giving you the slightest sign of that happening, you know, you buckle up and stuff like that. So, especially, yeah, being the big NFC, you know, NFC game, I mean, I'm sure the Commanders, you know, really kind of, you know, watch tape and, you know, did the best they could to, you know, make sure that, you know, they don't give the Lions any kind of excuse to, you know, kind of, you know, run them over for whatever reason. So, I'm fine with it. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the good part is I'm not a Lions fan or a Commanders fan, but
right.
It's cool. I will say it is always nice seeing these kind of trick plays as well. Cause you know, it does get a little bit boring when it's just, you know, over and over. It's just the fundamentals or it's just the kind of usual and all of that.
Yeah.
You like to kind of see these kind of, you know, skilled players doing a little something themselves.
For sure. Yeah. It's a tough line to walk, you know, it's a tough thing to balance creativity, but also not, you know, taking the ball out of the hands of your quarterback. But also Jared Goff was struggling at that point. So, you know, maybe Ben Johnson thought, well, hey, you know, we got to mix things up. This is what kind of got us here. So I'm with you. I think, you know, after some reflection, at first I was kind of taken aback by it, but yeah, after a few days sitting with it, you know, it's not the reason they lost. The reason they lost is because their defense was awful, you know? So it's, so it's kind of one of those things where like, yeah, if you want to really nitpick, yeah, maybe, you know, obviously the result wasn't good, but you know, that's sort of outcome bias, you know, judging something by the outcome instead of the process. So it's a tough thing to really pin on Ben Johnson too much, but shifting the focus back to the AFC side of things, obviously the Ravens Bills game had a pretty interesting ending, if we want to put it that way. Poor Mark Andrews, my goodness. I mean, that poor fella, You got to feel for him because he had a great year. I think with the fumble, we'll start there. I think that was his second fumble in his NFL career. I could be mistaken by that, but he had some ridiculous stretch where he hadn't dropped the ball or not dropped the ball, but he hadn't fumbled the ball in a very long time. And he did it very, very little over so far in his pretty solid NFL career, to be quite honest. So what are your thoughts on Mark Andrews fumbling? And then obviously the 2-point conversion, the big drop. How bad do you feel for Mark Andrews after Sunday night?
I mean, it's painful to see, you know.
I don't feel bad at all.
I mean, it happens, you know. I feel like, you know, you win or you learn and all that. Obviously, it is kind of sad seeing, you know, someone like him do that. But it's part of the game. The nerves get to you, or, you know, whatever was going on in his mind, you know, got to him. Sometimes, I guess, you know, you get so excited, you know, that you're like, oh, my God, you know, like, I got this. And then you don't got it. You know what I'm saying?
And you don't got it.
Yeah. You know, you've seen these a couple of times, like a game-winning open layup, and the guy just misses it for whatever reason. So,
yeah,
same thing. I do feel bad, but, I mean, it is what it is. You know, I mean, he still has a, you know, an absolutely beautiful resume. It's not like he's those kind of like, you know, listen, kid, you know, you're a third string tight end. Show me what you got and you screw it up. Yeah. If you're like Devin Cope and you do something like that, that's going to be like, all right, dude, like, I'm worried, man. You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah. You might have to, you know, get a job on Bayshore Boulevard or something like that. But no, it's, I mean, it's Mark Andrews. So, it's still painful. And, feel bad for the guy because, you know, he did get a lot of death threats apparently, which is
never good,
obviously very, you know, very sad to see that, you know, this is how the world is. But,
unfortunately, part of that sports betting stuff that we were talking about earlier in the episode. But, it's tough. You know, it's really brutal to see that. But, without Mark Andrews, I don't think the Ravens get to where they were, you know. So it's one of those tough things. Like, obviously, it was an ugly play, but or ugly two plays. Like, the fumble was, he was just trying to fight for more yardage and just was kind of loosey-goosey with the football. Who knows how much the snow also played into that as well, because, you know, the weather, it was nasty. And the weather obviously could have played a huge factor with the drop as well on the 2-point conversion. But, you know, who knows? It's tough to say. And it sucks for Mark Andrews. You know, got a feel for the guy. And Lamar obviously stuck up for him in the press conference. Good for him. And Lamar, you know, he didn't have an amazing game either in the first half. He had a couple of turnovers. You know, the pick was tough. You know, it was a miscommunication or whatnot. It was just really ugly play. And then the fumble was pretty rough too. So, you know, not the best game for Lamar either. And unfortunately, it's going to play into his playoff choker storylines or whatever nonsense, which is kind of silly. But obviously we've still got some championship games this weekend, and I figure we could just have some fun picks, you know, who we got going to the Super Bowl next week. So who you got in each championship game, and who you got ultimately playing in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I got Philly and Buffalo. I'm just praying to God that, you know, Kansas City doesn't end up going to the Super Bowl. I mean, could they? Absolutely. Will they? Hopefully not. But now the Eagles Commanders matchup, that ought to be very interesting though, because
very excited for that
one. I mean, I feel like these are two kind of, you know, overall kind of different teams. And I'm curious to see, you know, how the Eagles hold up, however, you know, a really good defense, you know, compared to the Lions defense, you know, how they perform against the Commanders. And I think the Commanders are going to have a very hard time. I'm more excited for that game, of course, compared to that Bills Chiefs game. Unless the Bills start just running over the Chiefs, then I'm definitely going to tune in and just see Patrick Mahomes's sad looking face and Taylor Swift in the press box, you know, just checking her phone and looking away,
looking bored.
Camera's not on her like 100%, but whatever.
No,
what about you, man? Who do you got?
I unfortunately have Kansas City because I just I know. Yeah. But it was my preseason pick, and it was my pre-playoffs pick of Philly versus Kansas City. So I'm sticking to it. You know, I'm sticking to my guns. I don't know. Philly has been really good. Like you mentioned, the defense has been dynamic, just dynamite, just really, really good stuff from them. Vic Fangio has transformed that defense. Zach Bond has become like one of the best middle linebackers in the NFL. Who could have seen that coming from a special team / pass rusher. Just his career arc has just been fascinating, from the Saints to now Philadelphia, and he's going to get paid this offseason, and good for him, deservedly so. He's turned himself into a monster. So shout out Zach Bond, like you said earlier. I've got
Philly. Shout out to their rookie DBs both making it to the all rookie team as well.
Yeah, Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell both doing outstanding jobs out there. Quinyon Mitchell, Florida native. I was at the Bucks Eagles game, his family was all wearing like Quinyon Mitchell gear. Like they had the Timu Quinyon Mitchell edited shirts and stuff. It was awesome to see. It was really cool. They seemed like they were having a great time, and they were out tailgating with a buddy of mine who's a big Eagles fan. And they've been on the show, the Ramirez family. It's great to see them both have success. DeJean as well. He's been just ridiculous out of the slot position. He's been really impressive to watch. I got the Eagles winning that one. In Kansas City, I mean, it's the Grim Reaper. You know, they're death taxes in Kansas City winning, unfortunately. Andy Reid does like a great job.
Patriots.
Yeah, the new New England Patriots. Yeah, it's just depressing, but you know, that's the nature of it. Hopefully Philly can pull it out in the Super Bowl if that ends up happening. If it's Buffalo or if it's Washington, then you know, it'd be fun to see either one of those teams win it too. Especially Jaden Daniels as a rookie quarterback winning the Super Bowl, that would be outstanding. Ooh. That would be a lot of fun. I'd be really excited. Eagles or Commanders, either one of them making it in would be super a-okay by me. But we're nearing the end of our episode. We really appreciate y'all tuning in. Definitely give us that like and subscribe if you like what you heard. You can give us a follow as well. We'll be back next week. We'll be doing a little bit of, you know, season reflection from this past year, looking back, some surprises, who's had the biggest impact, etc. Maybe giving out some awards as well for the Bucks. So definitely tune back in next week. We'll be back regardless of the result of the championship games, regardless of even if Kansas City's in, we'll still be back next week. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. And thank you to my co-host Musab for making my job easy. Really appreciate our producer, Mr. Eureka Wheeler, as well. And we'll see y'all next week. But until then, as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.